Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
None of this is sad. And let me, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say it. No, Nadav, you're laughing. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say it again later, which is these pathologies that we all have, underlined all, is what makes us interesting.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Welcome, everyone, to Dr. After Dark. Phone number 818-253-1693. And, of course, keep these emails coming at drafterdark@gmail.com. We have a follow-up today of the borderline questionnaire. Who is more borderline amongst the staff here? We're really not answering that question, but it's it's fun to frame it that way. Well, I also have an antisocial questionnaire that I want to get into. Lots of YMH clips to get into. Should we do what we did last time, sort of get into some of the YMH material and then go do our little psychological profiles?
Yeah, sure. Let's do some fun stuff and then get to the sad stuff.
I got some follow-on questions too, and none of this is sad. And let me, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say it. No, Nadav, you're laughing. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say it again later, which is these pathologies that we all have, underlined all, is what makes us interesting.
Okay.
I'm telling you the reason you watch The Real Housewives or whatever. These are people with lots of these traits, lots of them, and they engage in interesting behavior. And if you just look at human drama, period, just the topic of the landscape of human drama, all it is sick people being sick. That's what drama is. Sick people acting out their sicknesses.
But then aren't you saying that we're sick?
Well, I'm using the word sick to make a point. You guys aren't sick, and I'll tell you about that when we get into it.
I feel sick.
But what I'm saying is interesting.
I don't believe you, Drew. I think we're all sick.
Well, I mean, you can characterize them as psychopathologies. I mean, in the sense that they're things you can characterize, and they're not normal in the sense that the functioning can affect your functioning a little bit. But you guys are all high functioning. You don't have anything to worry about. But it's interesting to look at these traits and how our personalities function. Listen, when Sigmund Freud arrived on these shores, they asked him, "What do you expect to do here in the United States?" And his response was, "Well, I want to understand the difference between real psychopathology and ordinary misery." And so we're all in the ordinary misery camp. And when it comes to ordinary misery, it's interesting. It's just the human experience. We are interesting in our ordinary misery. Speaking of that, show me a huge booger follow-up. Huge booger follow-up. That can get me off the psychopathology pathway.
Do you want to see first the original and then I'll show you the follow-up?
Sure. This will get us all in. Oh, my God. Holy shit. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I almost threw up, guys. This one got me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I don't like this. Now, is this guy a cocaine addict or something? I mean, because that's what cocaine addicts will accumulate a bunch of debris up in their sinuses, and sometimes they'll pull it out. Not quite that much, though, usually.
See, like, I don't like popping videos, and I know that there's people that like them. I see this, and I'm like, I think I'm getting out of this what other people get out of popping videos. I'm like, oh, that probably feels so fucking good.
I know, but it's what he's holding there is beyond gross. Look at, sure. Listen, I will just point out, Annie has gone silent, and I don't blame him.
His eyes are also closed and he's looking down.
Yeah, I don't blame him one bit. I'm with him on the way. He didn't like the word mucopolysaccharides. That's what mucopolysaccharides build into when there's a bunch of debris that goes with it, like cocaine or talcum powder or God knows what the hell this guy's been sticking up his nose. And infected material. It can be just a huge infected sinus that finally cleared. Is there any information about this guy? I want to throw up, but go ahead.
So far, I know that he sucks. That's all I've discovered.
But there's a follow-up. I want to see the follow-up. Maybe you'll give us a little information.
Yeah, here's the follow-up.
Oh, my God. Please, no more.
Welcome to the Daily Booger.
Oh, my God.
The Booger Man. a little stuffed up today. Let's see what we got.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not another one.
Oh, God. Look at that camera. Dude.
I can't watch it.
God damn.
Oh.
Bro.
You're telling me, though, that wouldn't feel good coming out of your nose?
I'm
You're right, Drew?
I'm sure it would, but, oh, man. That dude needs to see an ear, nose, throat doctor pronto. Pronto. I'm guessing. What the hell is he doing? It's got to be cocaine, right?
I feel like, though, also, I've heard people getting, like
deviated septum, yeah.
Yeah, their deviated septum fixed, and, like, there's usually, like, weird videos with this.
Yeah, that's the packing.
But it's usually, like, soaked in old blood.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, because that's a packing that the doctor puts up into the sinuses, and you're removing the packing. This is produced by his body. I mean, that dude, and by the way, nice teeth, too. He's got the full... It doesn't. He's full cool guy attitude and full cool guy teeth.
I think it confirms your drug theory.
Yeah, the meth possibility. I like that he has great pride in his boogerman status. That's good for him.
I would too.
Nadav, help me out of this. I'm with you. I'm not dissociating. I'm about to throw up. You with me?
I'm trying to get you there, bud.
Nadav, you okay? You with me?
Yeah, all right.
He can't talk. He can't even talk.
Oh, you said Nadav. You mean
Annie? Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Annie. Look, you could be any name, right? If I call Nadav, it could be you. Who knows? It's Annie. And so I've learned that about you last week.
That's right. And
what is your real name, by the way?
Ooh, can't go there. I got a couple of those. Yeah.
A couple of real names.
It's all
right.
We could bleep it if you want.
You sure can't.
Are they like, you know, Sir Walter Raleigh? Are they really like highbrow names?
No, yeah, there's nothing interesting about them.
All right,
yeah.
You just don't like them.
Yeah.
All right, I won't out you.
Doesn't define me. You know
oh
what I mean?
Man, that booger thing. Where did you first show that? Was that in your mom's house?
Yeah.
Ugh. Annie, were you here?
Didn't we do it on the heavy segment last live show?
I think it might have been an honorable mention in one of the lives, and then that was just like, hey, check out more boogies.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. and but I'm wondering I was wondering if when you first saw it, if it got you.
Oh no, I still haven't seen it, and I never saw it before. Oh, I heard a booger follow up, and I went ahead and just
it's like he pulled a tree. It's like he pulled a tree out of his nose. You do not want to see it.
Explain
it. You do not want to see it.
Oh no, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you don't
worry, I'll trick you into seeing it.
All right. Woo! Stop calling me Chomo. Chomo?
I'm not getting off social media, so quit telling me that. You're making me mad. Stop telling me to get off social media and quit calling me a Chomo. I'm going to get you. I'll find you. You're not going to make my life miserable. Now stop doing this to me. Stop doing this to me!
I like the way he talks to his phone like it's a person. Is there more with this guy? I imagine there's more somewhere.
Nope, that's it. But I'm taking a look at this guy. I have a feeling he has a hard time tracking people down using the internet and just figuring out how to find people.
Oh, no. I don't think people should be worried. Let's see it again because I want to check the background out. There's something going on behind him.
I'm not getting off social media.
What is that up there?
So quit telling me that.
A kettle? A kettle?
Stop telling me to get off social media and quit calling me a Chomo. I'm going to get you.
Can I ask you guys an honest question? What makes somebody a Chomo?
They molest children.
Ah. That is
Chomo is short for child molest.
Oh, see, I did not really know. Yeah. I can understand he'd be upset. Give me another one.
I can understand people calling him that. He does have
he has a weird serial killer look, I'll give you that. But
call me a Chomo.
All right. I'm still trying to clear my palate from the booger man, so let me see what else I can pick from up there. Maybe a TikTok.
Here, let's.
How about Flat Earther debunks globes? This is good for me.
Sure.
And poo reggae? What you gonna give me?
I wanted to show this globe and its theory that it goes around the sun. We're gonna use the light here in my living room as the sun. So here's the North Pole, and we're spinning.
Day, night, day, night.
365 times before we go around the sun once. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, as you can see, the North Pole, where's that supposed to go? Is that supposed to change every time you go around over here? And if so, how come the North Star is the same position every night?
This guy's genius. Pure genius.
You know, you're spinning, going around the sun, and this point here is supposed to be on to the Polaris, wherever that is. Where's that at?
All right, enough. I got enough flat earthers. They drive me crazy.
No, he's describing the natural wobble of the earth, you know?
Yes, he is, actually.
I know.
He's like describing what actually happened.
He's like, "This. So, how could it do this?" It's like, that is what it does.
That's what happens. That's what it does. So, okay. And then the other one was what? What was the reggae poo? Poo reggae.
Ooh. How many times do you poo? Mm. Once a week? Maybe two? Three times? Maybe four? Maybe you should be pooing some more.
Maybe.
I go a few times a day. Ah. Many years it has been this way, but everyone is different.
Yes.
So they say, ask yourself these questions.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I agree with this guy.
You're eating enough
fiber. Yeah.
You're drinking enough water.
Uh-huh.
You exercise regular.
Yeah.
Your body working proper.
Uh-huh.
You find yourself straining.
Uh-huh.
Could be your body complaining. You want to go, but you keep waiting. That's also constipating. Check out the food that you're eating. Is it good for your system? Has your digestion kicked in? Are you a constipation victim? I'll give you a tip. When you go to toilet, get a stool.
Toilet.
Put your feet on it. Knees up is the best way to sit. Comes out easier. Try it.
Squatty potty.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
a stool can be a tool to help your stool. Check your schedule. Write down your bowel movements like you're in school. Healthy eating rule.
No.
Be kind to your colon. Don't be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Nature is my jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Fruits and vegetables, they are my fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am.
Yes, yes, I. That's good. I like this guy. But when we do the any sitcom, this is going to be the theme song. This is it. And I don't
Fire
think this...
Fire him immediately. Fire him immediately.
I don't think this guy's thought all the way through, because Eni has taken the knees up thing all the way to a real art form. I mean, if he really were, you know, thinking about things, he'd go, wait a minute. I think the great way to do that squatting is to get up on the edge of the toilet. Then you're really doing what's natural. Right, Eni?
Just get on the toilet and handle your business.
Do we have any...
It's the easiest.
Let's go to the guy who hates pooping, as long as this is Eni, man. This is Eni's video series.
Yeah, what's up?
Guy who hates pooping.
Oh, different guy. Okay,
yeah, not you.
Copy. Fuck pooping, man. I hate the way humans poop.
Say
it sucks. It's designed badly.
Tell him.
We need a change. I need an upgrade. This happens like 4 or 5 times a week. I'm pooping, and I can't quite get it all out. There's still a nugget or two left in my colon.
Mm.
And I know it's there. I feel that there's still poo in me.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the poo's already in the toilet, but that last bit just won't come out,
mm-hmm.
no matter how hard I put. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to spend another hour on the toilet trying to get this last bit of poo out, so I'll just leave it in there, whatever, mm-hmm. till mm-hmm. next time.
Yeah, that's good. That's
and then I get to wiping.
Uh-oh.
And that's not fun either, because there's still a bit of poo left in my butthole. It's still there. It's showing up every time I wipe. It's not getting any cleaner, no matter how many times I wipe. I could go through 2 rolls of toilet paper. Still poo. Still poo. But I gotta carry on with my day. I do not have the time to spend 3 hours shitting and wiping.
Uh-oh.
You know when you go back to the bathroom, like an hour after you've taken a shit to re-wipe?
Yeah.
That's a common occurrence for me.
Oof. So this guy has a problem, actually. There's something wrong with his anal sphincter.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like what you said that I should be afraid of, that the colon just doesn't actually even work
That's
anymore?
A little different, but yes, this that kind
Lazy
of thing.
Lazy rectum is the term you're thinking of.
This is actually something's wrong with the anal verge and the anal sphincter, and that can be tumors in the spine, things like that. And so this dude needs to maybe go see a gastroenterologist, much like our reggae buddy over there, way more bulk in this guy's diet, for starters. Like, Metamucil for you, sir. Lots of it.
Did you say tumors in the spine?
Uh-huh.
It is a possibility when you have a never-ending wipe?
He's talking in a he seems to be talking about anal sphincter, what's called patchlessness. It's not, look. And he's the opposite. And he can cut cords with his anus, right? He can chop wood with it if he had to. This guy is saying, I can't close the at the end and get the last bit out. And that is a weakness of the muscles there. And that can be caused by cauda equina syndrome, things like that, MS, a lot of different stuff. So, I mean, I'm not saying he has that. I'm saying his upgrade may be that he really needs to get a medical evaluation, or maybe he's doing drugs or something, or something. Who knows? I mean, a lot of things can cause this.
I was going to recommend, how about first a bidet, you know?
Sometimes, a bidet would be helpful.
Sometimes I feel like there's stuff in the cavity. Guess what? Just douche that poo.
Absolutely. A douche would be great. And as you, if any of you are, you know, above the age of 60, hearing this and going, oh, I have a tumor. No, as you get over 60, this shit starts happening all the time. You ever heard Howard Stern talk about it? He talks, he obsesses about this stuff. Roller coaster dad boner. I go down this rabbit hole. I can't stop.
Yeah, you're having so much fun. Let's not forget, we need to check out what all the answers to these tests.
I'm going to get there. I got to do a couple emails and a couple voice messages, and we'll get there. So go ahead. What do you got for the dad boner?
Here we are on Joker's Jinx.
Oh yeah.
And we are about to launch. These premier launchers are always awesome. Here we go through the spaghetti bowl, guys.
Spaghetti bowl? Where is this?
There's the ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-lingies. All right, it's going to start to get faster and faster now.
All right, this is giving me the opposite of a dad boner. I've had enough. The opposite. Post nut superpower.
That's it.
I don't want to see it anymore. It's the opposite. It's like it's giving me a. Let's see. Booth Bastards, this guy calls you. Booth Bastards. Woo! I noticed something interesting after I bust. My sense of smell is increased, but only for a minute or so. Is that normal or should I come up in May? Blood supply does shift a lot, and so does your blood vessels open up, and some people get runny nose and tearing in their eyes, things like that. So it does make some sense to me that it would not be all that unusual for somebody to have a change in their sense of smell after ejaculating or even getting sexual aroused too. I bet some people have that with sexual arousal. Does altitude affect browns? I have shit like any historically. I've usually taken about one brown per week. Not the squatting thing. That is batshit crazy. Not my words, his. I recently moved to Milwaukee to Boulder. After spending just a few weeks here, I am shitting every day, if not more than once. This has never happened before. I don't think I've changed my diet at all. What is behind this change? Is it the altitude? I doubt it's the altitude. I'm guessing it has something to do with the routine you're on. It could be lots of things. Let's face it. Maybe you're drinking more coffee, things like that. Who knows? When I cough with a hard-on, the tip of my dick hurts. Okay. Need help quitting drinking. I'm just saying, what do you want me to do? I'm a 32-year-old delivery driver, which keeps me in shape, but I've fallen into a hole. I recently had a healthy child, but now I've come to realize I need help to stop drinking. I finished a handle of Jim Beam in 2 days. I've tried detoxing, but the shakes at nights and night sweats are horrible. My job does not provide health insurance for a single person. The monthly payment is outrageous. Is there anything I can take or do to not let my body go into shock? So I can detox and be a better father. I don't want his son to see his father as a failure. I want to raise him right. Purple Promise Keeper. Purple Promise, dude, try telemedicine. You can, you know, look online for telemedicine docs that you can see, usually for like $35-$40. And maybe he or she can prescribe some Librium for you and some, you know. The other thing you need is thiamine, magnesium, some B12. All that's very helpful for the detox. But there are specific medicine. Here goes that sneeze.
Gazenta,
I get that every other show this happens right about now. Librium is the medicine, or Ativan sometimes, to help you get through this. But the bigger problem is you're not going to stay stopped. You're going to start messing around. You got to go to AA, get a sponsor, worth steps if you're going to be serious about this. Telemedicine, you can do it for like $40. Don't go to urgent care. That'll cost you $500. Hey Hitler. I'm a cis white male, 42-year-old, and I masturbated yesterday. By the way, any updates from Hey Hitler Lady? Has she been talking to Hitler lately, or do we get anything updated from
her? She's been out of the mix for quite some years at
this
point.
She just isn't putting stuff up anymore.
I don't know if that's the case, but it's all kind of monotone. It's all kind of the same note, if you know what I mean.
From long ago?
Yeah.
Or is she still doing it?
I don't know. Honestly, man, it's
you're not interested.
We've lost
right.
interest.
Just using it as the only interest we have is using it as a aloha.
Exactly. Just a reference at this point.
42-year-old masturbated yesterday. Noticed the tissue I finished in, used to clean up, was stained with red, which I assume was blood. Yes, that's a good assumption. Nothing hurt. I'm not cut anywhere. I'm going to wait a couple days and test to see if I bleed again. But I'm wondering if I should freak out. I'd insert a cool catchphrase outro, but I'm bleeding from my dick. Thank you for taking this seriously, Mike in Boston. So, Mike, hematospermia, or blood in the semen, is a common thing. You're at an age, however, where it's got to be taken a little more seriously. I mean, if you're in your 20s, you think it's probably nothing. But in your 40s, it can be tumors in the bladder, it can be prostate cancer, it can be infections. And it can be nothing. It's typically nothing, frankly. But you do need to see a urologist to get that checked out. There are cancers that are relatively common in your age group, and you just want to make sure it's not one of those things. It can be an arterial venous malformation in the bladder. It can be a lot of different stuff. More often than not, you never really figure out what it is, and it ends up being nothing.
I'm curious if it goes away after a certain amount. Is there like a certain amount of time where you should be like, just wait first, and then if it goes away after that, then you're probably fine, or as soon as you see it?
It's funny, as a man, that's a male way of dealing with any medical problem. Like, I'm growing a new head on my shoulder, let's see if it goes away for a couple of weeks. And it's like that's what we all do. I understand it, but I have a different responsibility, right? I gotta make sure he takes care of things and doesn't put himself at risk, and B, he's in a different age group. If we're you or somebody younger than you, I could tolerate that, no problem. But if you get in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, it's time to start checking things out if you have weird symptoms. Whiting without touch. Anybody able to do that?
Thank God, no.
Not me.
Zolo, no?
Nope.
I'm older now. When I was in my teens, another time in my early 20s, I got so horny on a specific girl, I could feel the white building. I laid on my back, no pants or boxers, touching my rocket, and boom. Best way to describe it is how you can tighten up your junk when it's erect. Right. There are some women can do this too. Some people have orgasms just doing leg lifts in the gym. It's not uncommon.
We should all be so lucky.
I know, exactly. Only done this twice, but during those days I could do it 3 to 5 times a day. I had 20 to 40 minute sessions with a woman. Well, it's normal. I know what he's saying. But anyway, yes, you were younger then, and that's when your testosterone levels are all maxed out. Ooh. And yes, that happens.
Actually, you know what? When I was younger, I think I have, hold on, does it count with nocturnal emissions? Does that only happen when you're sleeping, or could that happen right when you wake up?
That's still technically a sleep emission. Yeah, because that's actually the time when it typically occurs. Right as you're in your REM and you're sort of waking up, that's when those things happen.
What if it happens twice in one night?
Congratulations.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. Weird nerve feeling while making brown. 20-year-old male. Most of the time when I poop, I have a weird nerve feeling pain in my right hand and right shoulder. It's more exaggerated when I'm pushing, but it sometimes happens when I'm not pushing. I had a pinched nerve a couple months ago that affected the same area. So yeah, it's probably it is left over from that affected disc problem. So when you're applying pressure, that disc is bulging out a little bit, and it's putting on. I've never heard of that before, but that's very, very, very interesting. Or let's see, do I have a fucked up inner clock? Not quite fart or shit related. Ever since I was young, there's been a phenomenon going on where it's slightly fucked me up. I'm intrigued so far. If I set my alarm in the morning, I pretty much always wake up just before the alarm. Nothing significant, just 5 minutes or less. My husband works early shift. I'll often wake up around 2:30 and make him breakfast. Most of the time, I'll even wake up right before that alarm. As far back as elementary school, okay, this is nothing. This is good. This people can do this. When you're asleep, you're not dead. You're in an altered state of consciousness, but some people have very effective inner clocks, and they can easily just know that it's that time when they're supposed to wake up. Now, people like me, I go into deep sleep at a certain point, and there's no way I can sort of bring myself out of it. Okay, one last thing. Hey, Hitler. On a recent episode, you discussed what happened when you pass out. I'm 42. I've been passing out since I was a teenager. Thought it was random, but a few years ago, I was able to pinpoint what triggers it. When I go out of my mind... Wait. I'm curious what was going on in your brain when you're passed out. When I go out, my mind is still active, kind of, but there's no connection to anything. It's almost a dreamlike state where I can hear people around me if there's any at any time, but can't get my mind and body connected and wake up. Your blood pressure goes so low to your brain. You're actually in a state of kind of, I almost want to call it like a waking coma. That when you pass out, it's because blood is drained out of your brain, and the centers that are responsible for maintaining consciousness shut down as the blood pressure drops. And when you're down, the pressure starts coming up again. So you have varying levels of awareness of what's going on. And some of it is a distortion too. Some of it is you think you're aware, but you're really not. And it requires somebody to jolt you to get you up. How much brain activity do you lose when you're passed out? It depends on the individual. Not, I can't say that it's always one thing with any given individual. Some people have seizures as they black out. They have sort of hypotensive seizures. Other people are out for long periods of time and they have no recollection of what happens. It depends on the person and their particular physiology. Voice message.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Booth Boys. Jocelyn here from Arizona.
Jocelyn.
I have a question regarding my boyfriend and I's homemade version of birth control. Essentially, we just wait till it's my period, and then we just let him dump thick, hot, white loads in me the first day or two, and then the last day of my period, I just bleed it out. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how dumb are we being? Or are like, we really smart and just figured out a new birth control method? Want to know, am I going to get pregnant? Piss on me? Beat me? Keep it high and tight. You bet I'm coming up in May. Love you.
I like that Jocelyn's so proud of herself for all the farewells. You can still get pregnant. It's not as though it's as likely as, you know, you have about 3 to 5 days after ovulation where pregnancy typically occurs. And the egg has to be in a certain spot for this, you know, usually in the tube as it's moving down the tube, but you can actually start bleeding before the egg actually misses implantation. It can happen. Now, some women are sort of perfectly timed with this, but you can't predict it. There can be more than one egg. I mean, you can get pregnant during that stage. Not as likely, isn't that 3 to 5 days after ovulation, but it's not like you're not bleeding anything out. There's nothing pushing out of you. It is just the lining of the uterus that starts to come off as the corpus luteum degenerates. And that's it. That's all that happens. And so it's not something's pushing out or not able to get in. In fact, it can get in quite easily. The infections and things can get in during the period because the cervical os is slightly more open. So yes, you can definitely get pregnant. Not as likely, but definitely you're going to get, well, you could get pregnant. So another voice message.
Hey, Dr. Drew. It's John.
Hey, John.
Just listen to the episode where you're talking about how the girl's vagina is located outside the body. So
yeah.
Let's say you're having anal sex. Mm-hmm. So you're going into the butthole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that be considered inside the body? So if you're inside a girl, if you're doing anal, is that inside a girl then? Anyways, piss on me, beat me. You bet I'm coming up in May. My kings and queens above 18. Your king loves you. Bye.
Thank you, buddy.
I got you, Chief.
He can answer this. You see, I've coached up the Booth Boys. So it's weird to me how people can't get this, but Annie, give me
Dr.
the answer.
Dr. Annie.
Give me the answer.
I got you. It's Nurse Annie so far. I'm on my way, Chief. But
yep.
As far as I know, the mouth is connected straight to the asshole.
Right.
Therefore, the entire enclosure is considered outside the body.
Well done, my friend. You've learned your lessons well.
Let's fucking go.
So the anus is outside the body. The vagina is outside the body. Now, they are special environments that pass through the body and have all kinds of special features and qualities to them. And the absorptive elements of, say, the small bowel and even parts of the large bowel interact with the body, right? It's not like they're detached from the body. They're just not inside the body. Anything inside the body is completely sterile. Like I said, you could have sex with somebody's, this is Christina's thing, you could fuck a stoma, right? Isn't that what her tour name? And that's outside the body. That's pulling up a piece of colon to the outside world, or actually small bowel, to the outside world, usually out small bowel. So it's just continuous with the outside world. It has special properties, and it can affect the inside world. If you put something inside the body, you immediately get infection, peritonitis. I mean, bullets go inside the body, right? Knives go inside the body, right? Okay. Watch for wasps. Can I see that one? Watch for wasps. You've been bitten by a wasp? Terrible.
I have not. I mean, after looking at this video, I hope.
Costa Rica once. I got hit by. So we have with a guy. And he goes quiet. Boom. As he said that, I felt like I've been shot. It goes through you. It's unbelievable.
Is it a bite or a sting?
It's a sting. It's a sting.
All right.
But they can repeatedly sting. They don't lose their stingers.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Nice.
I just want to let all y'all know out there. Watch for waspies, because they'll sting you and then you look like me. But it's hot today, so make sure you drink water.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good one.
I love this guy. Thank you for looking out for us, buddy. Don't look like him. Yeah, the thing got me in the shoulder, and I kid you not, I thought something went through and through me, and it was crazy, crazy, crazy.
Watch for waspies.
TikToks, what do you got? Oh, Fed Smoker. Well, give me some TikToks first.
That's also another thing, by the way, we were talking about cheese. That's another thing that white people do.
Tell me.
That they add the is to things. You know that? Like textus. When I've heard white people say, like, the plural of texts. Huh. Or plural of text to be textus. I sent a bunch of textus.
I will look out for that. And to me, that
what?
That's yeah. I'm gonna look out for that. And to
a
me, that's
a bunch of textus.
No, yeah. I think though you picked up on something, maybe like a regional thing more than a white people thing.
It could be. I mean, yeah. Everyone that I've heard, it was from East Coast, so it could be like an East Coast thing. Huh. But I just don't hear.
I've never heard anyone. Say
well, that. We'll keep it out for it, and you'll find it for me if we have it out there. TikTok.
Waspis.
I always laugh when I hear men call young women gold diggers. It's like, Roger, you're a 55-year-old, very stinky chunk trying to date a 25-year-old beautiful woman. What do you think attracts her in you? Your pathetic balding head or the fact that the only increasing part of your body is your blood pressure, huh? Maybe, Roger, if you start dating women your age, you will meet less of gold diggers. What do you think?
We got to follow this chick. She's fantastic. Now, my question, though, is that real? Is that accent real? What do you guys think?
I think so.
That's real, what I was trying to figure out. What the hell that accent? She rolls every...
She's some
every,
sort of Slavic
do
Russian?
You have, no, she's Russian.
She just rolls Ukrainian. Every word.
That is a Russian accent.
There's an R in it or not.
Yeah, I just can't tell if it's real or not. Do we have any follow-up? Do we know... What is her TikTok? What is
no,
her...
I mean, I don't fucking...
what is her, I'm going to write this down.
Tori Herman.
How do you spell it?
Two R's, two N's.
T-O-R-R-Y-H-E-R-M-A-N-N. We're going to find this girl, and I'm going to see if that's a real accent or not.
Well, I'll tell you what. Whether the accent's real or not, those words are real as shit.
Yeah, she's not wrong. So, yeah. I mean, what a guy... That always does crack me up when older males who are dating young women think it's something about their appearance and their prowess and stuff. It's like, no.
Well, it's actually... It's funny. It's kind of the opposite of what all these dudes talking about... Whatever.
Yes.
What is it? The
high value men.
Yes, it's the
yes.
exact same conversation, just backwards. They're like,
correct.
What do you think we're here for?
That's exactly right. And so that's why that stuff doesn't work. That's not a relationship. That's exploitation of one another. It just doesn't work. But there are. I'm not saying that young women can never date younger older men. I'm not saying that, nor vice versa. I am not saying that, or that it's always what she's talking about here. But, you know, because there is another thing that sometimes younger women who have a bad picker start looking for stability. And, you know, that's really what's attractive is sort of a safe environment. And sometimes that age difference sort of creates that. I want to see Fed Smoker showing off his car. I got to see this.
I'm going to send that to my son. Nice. I always take a picture of people filming my car because you never can tell who they are. A lot of times they try to send... They're friends at me to try to die in a roundabout way. I put
Look
cops in prison with this car.
Oh my
and they
God.
Think they want to be part of social media.
What is on the roof? What is that?
What
I think it
do,
was just bags.
You're not social media, are you?
I don't think so.
What I do is I give them a baby raper stamp on their forehead.
This guy's so astonished.
You slipped. You're not going to get the stamp. Look at the car, the way it's set up, brother.
What is up there?
Isn't it set up beautiful? Yeah. This car puts cops in prison, brother. It really does.
This car is sponsored by Under Armour.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, at least lose their badge. They'd rather fire you than even mention what you've done. Most of them rape children and burn houses down and steal evidence.
Most of them, yeah.
Steal crap and go take it home.
I love the astonishment on this other guy's face. Like, what have we gotten into here?
Family and give it to their family. Come to this side. I want to show you the most important thing without even looking because I know my beautiful car. I know what it's capable of. Look down here. You know I've been gone for quite some time.
Yeah, he's been living in his car.
A little lower.
He has, right?
Look under this thing. See that dash cam? Yeah. See it cooking under there?
Oh, yeah.
It never shuts off. You know why? Because people want to be movie stars. They want that baby vapor stamp. Bing, 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 all over their face.
He's been feathering it lately too. Did you see that? He's been feathering it.
Yeah, he does.
Does this go on?
Yeah. There's still quite a bit more of this, but this is one of the more terrifying videos I've seen.
Well, I don't think it's terrifying. It's just more of the same. But for that dude, it's terrifying. He does not understand what he's gotten into here.
I'm putting myself in his shoes, and it's just like, I just wanted to take a picture of a car, and now
Fed Smoker said, put your head in here, that dude should not. I don't care what's going on. Do not put your head in there. I'm just saying. So, but did you notice he has a hacksaw on his dashboard? What is that? Is that he cut more teeth filing or something? What's he doing?
There's a hacksaw?
Look at him feathered. He's all feathered. Oh, my God. A little more. Come on, a little more. He has a big ear crease. You see, that means he has heart disease, too. That's associated with heart disease. See that crease in his earlobe? Yep, that.
That means heart disease?
That's associated with heart disease, yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
There's lots of weird things you can see on physical exam like that.
Maybe he just had a bad back alley
No.
All right.
And I'm just saying. It is kind of a weird crease, I must admit. But it's meth and cardiac. That's what I'm guessing. That's what I'm saying. Do you think it's funny?
I think it's Tom,
is that you?
That's what you picked up on. I think we just solved the riddle on what happened to Fed Smoker.
Well, I think that'll do it. I'm sure the guy's cardiac blood supply is not the picture of health. So give me a little more. I just want to see how far this goes.
Couple more.
Uh-oh, don't do that, dude.
It never shuts off. You know why? Because people want to be movie stars.
This poor dude.
They want that.
He's like,
paper stamp. Bing. Bink, bink, all over their face. And it's a gift that just keeps giving. And this is your car. You know how it's your car? This is the car you only had to pay for once.
Uh-oh.
And then they sold it, and guess what?
Yeah.
I bought it.
How's he?
I fixed it up the way it should be.
How's he holding the camera?
It's 205.
You notice
See,
that?
I fixed it up the
He's
way
a pro.
It should
It's not
be.
Like he has a cameraman.
See how those cameras, they just don't shut off? Cameras aren't supposed to shut
Look at that.
Off.
Look at that. He's
just
holding it back on himself.
Off. Don't mean the camera's supposed to shut off. They're supposed to cruise.
Oh, dude.
They're supposed to cruise and cruise
and
cruise.
When you talk about your paranoia, does this look extreme to you the way he gets?
Yes, but I do absolutely see myself getting to that point if I did meth
okay.
or something.
Okay, fair enough.
To push
fair
me
enough.
Over that edge, I'd be this guy.
Yeah. Okay. Don't do meth. Please don't. Okay. All right. I had enough of this, Jeff. Let's get on with our test. It's time.
Goodness.
It's time we get to the group. All right. So one of the things I want to do before we get into the borderline test is I want to do a little sociopathy test. Okay. Let me get that.
Ooh,
going.
So we're doing a different test?
We're going to do it's a much shorter test.
Okay.
And I just want to sort of point something out here. Let's see here. All right. Okay. This is antisocial personality. It's a brief screen. This is a yes or no. Do you manipulate other people's emotions? Any?
Uh-huh.
Well, Drew, no. Any?
Yeah.
Nadav? Uh-oh.
Can I say sometimes?
Okay, yes. And Zolo, is he in there?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. Ooh, look at you. We found something out about Zolo, finally. okay. Okay. Repeatedly break the law. Drew, no. Zolo, no. Any?
Hold on. Don't answer for Zolo.
I'm just guessing. Any?
So you said you're a no.
Repeatedly break the law.
I am a yes.
Repeatedly?
Yes.
Okay. Nadav? Nadav?
Definitely no.
Okay. Showing no remorse.
Wait, hold on. Zolo, do you break the law?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drew's a no and no remorse. Any?
Do
you have remorse for some of the shit you do? Do you feel bad about it in any way, or even if it's dissociated feelings?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Nadav?
If it's justified, definitely not.
Not? No remorse.
Like if the person.
Like it's that your money and anger again. Okay.
Right. Like
it.
If the person had a comment to them, okay. It's like, okay. Jenna fucked me.
Okay. Zolo?
I do show remorse, yes.
Okay. You know, he had it coming is kind of an interesting subset of showing no remorse, right? Because you can convince yourself that just about anybody had something coming if you feel justified in your actions. So is that your thing, Eddie? Is that you do that? Or do you just, you you just feel justified in whatever you've done, always.
Wait, no, I said I do feel...
Oh, you do feel remorse.
I do feel remorse.
Okay, yeah, that's what I think thought. That's why I was following up on that. Okay. Repeatedly lying. No for me. Any? Repeatedly.
You see...
Sometimes. I'll take a sometimes.
I don't lie. I don't lie.
Oh, good. Okay, fine.
Well, that's just because any says a version that he believes.
Okay, that's okay. It's a lying... That's lying with justification. Nadav.
No, I don't
No.
lie. Hold on, Annie. You think I lie?
To exaggerate?
If you think that I lie, then you lie.
We're going to give you both a no. Zolo.
Okay.
No.
No. And then acting irresponsibly, such as lying, manipulating, disrespecting, often struggle to fulfill work obligations. No. Zenny? Any?
It's a big old yes, Chief.
What? Some of this is you have a distorted sense of yourself, I think. Do you have the trouble completing your work obligations?
Yeah. Wait. Well, I'm sorry, what?
Trouble completing work obligations?
Well, no, not trouble complete. So
you may develop resentments, but you don't act irresponsibly.
I guess not in a career sense, sure, but okay. That's only career, though.
Okay, where does it have an effect?
Everywhere else.
I'm still going to give you a no. Nadav?
What was the question again?
Acting irresponsibly, not fulfilling responsibilities, manipulating, disrespecting, not fulfilling work obligations.
No, definitely not.
Right. And Zolo?
No, I don't think so.
So it's interesting. I don't think so. Zolo, what are you telling us here?
I'll put that sometime.
Yeah, what do you...
I'm getting pushback on everything I say in here, so I...
He's afraid he's going to be a boring dude. He's got to come up with something.
I don't believe you, Zolo.
I don't know why.
Start telling the truth, Zolo.
I think I do my work.
But Annie, it's interesting. I think some of your stuff is stuff you think about yourself rather than what you are. So try to be clear on that, or that you maybe used to do it and aren't so much anymore. But anyway, we'll get into it. Substance abuse. Anybody struggling?
Substance abuse. Abuse? The abuse means that I can't stop.
Right.
Right.
No regard for your own safety. It's not addiction so much as reckless substance use.
I would say no. I think other people would probably say yes.
Sometimes. Okay. Me, no. Any sometimes. Nadav?
No, I never let it interfere with anything I need to do.
Has it ever been reckless? Like not advisable?
No.
Okay. Zolo?
No.
Okay. Arrogance. Displaying arrogance. No, for me. I don't think so. And if I do, it bothers me. Any?
And arrogance is when you have unjustified confidence?
It doesn't have to be unjustified, but
Like, what's the difference between that and confidence?
Cocky, self-assured, extremely opinionated.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's me.
But you don't impose it on other people, right?
That's true. That's true.
And arrogance, yeah, really arrogance about letting people know about those opinions more. I'm going to give you a sometimes. Okay.
Okay.
Nadav?
I try my hardest not to be arrogant.
Okay.
Like I don't think I am, but I'm not sure if the guys in this room would.
We'll call that sometimes. Okay. Zolo?
I'll go sometimes.
Oh, really?
Maybe
you guys, I'm learning more than anything. I'm learning you guys have weird self-concepts because I don't experience you guys at all. Maybe you've never seen the real thing.
All right.
That's why you
changed that to no.
Okay. Okay.
Why don't you hang out with us a whole day one time? See how you
I've hung out with you guys for a while. I'm telling you, I hung out with a psych hospital for 30 years.
We're different at lunch, Drew.
I'm sure. Okay. Lacking empathy. This is a big one. Lacking empathy. Me new. Any? You can qualify it as you wish.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
No.
I agree. Is there a sometimes in there somewhere?
No. Okay. It's sympathy that I have trouble with. Empathy, I think I tend to fully understand how people feel.
And in other words, you think if somebody has something bad happen to them that's because of their choices, you have no sympathy for that. But you understand and feel the feelings.
Right, right. I can relate and I can understand what they must be feeling. Yeah.
Okay. And you, do you care about it?
Do I care about it?
Yeah. Does it make you feel bad? Like you need to want to help them or anything like that? Or you just...
It depends on the person.
Okay. So you can't do that. Nadav?
I feel like it's situational. Like what you just said.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Like sometimes. If I see the person has made all these terrible decisions that puts them in a place that's terrible, it's hard for me to feel bad for them.
Yeah. Zolo?
No, I don't think I lack empathy.
Acting impulsively. They can't control your impulses. You know, they act out in ways that hurt other people or speed or use substances or cheat or whatever. Acting impulsively. Me, it's a no. Nadav, any?
100%, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Impulsive. Shit. When we were going to move. Wait, what? You got some?
Yeah, how about your back tattoo?
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's true.
Tell me.
My first tattoo was the giant spider on my back.
Right.
So.
And he got that 3 hours before a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
What went through your mind? What were
Nothing,
you thinking?
Drew.
It was just an impulse and you did it.
Well, it's just that I knew that I wouldn't do it in like a sensible, I knew that I could talk myself out of it for the rest of my life. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it and I don't care what is going to happen in the way. I'm just going to do it and that's it. Okay. So I did it.
Okay. I mean, you could call that confidence too.
Well, that's the thing that I'm having trouble with. That was the thing with arrogance too. Is like, is it confidence? Is it, but no, I'd say impulsive. I mean, I bought a $1,000 monitor once because I liked that it was a 4K, 120 frames per second. It was just like on my feet. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to buy it. And I did that. And it was absolutely not okay. I was like struggling with things. It was dumb. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's impulsive as shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a yes. Nadav?
Nice long note. Well, I mean, I do dabble in gambling, so I can't say that I'm not impulsive.
Okay, so sometimes.
Yeah, let's give that a hard sometimes.
Okay, Zolo?
It's a no for me.
It's a no. Like, no. And then finally, fails to plan ahead. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I got one ahead of that. No, that's it. Fails to plan ahead. Like, you can't, me is a no. Any?
Yeah, I'm bad at that, too.
Give me an example.
That was my main issue in my last relationship.
Give an example, though.
She was talking about how she wants to, talk about like how to, what the house that we're going to get together one day is going to look like and, you know, whatever, just plan things ahead, like take trips and all that. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to be in that amount of time. So like, I don't like to think that far because it makes me stress that I have to commit to that thing that I just planned. I'm more like, I'll dream. I'll be like, it could be cool if, but I'm not going to commit to that dream.
How about, see, it's so funny that this stuff is so very sort of very specific for you because do you have trouble planning ahead here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason I'm not, he's the scheduler. I do stuff. There's a reason why I'm the live guy. When you want it done right now, I'm that guy. I'll figure it out.
And
but
is
if
that,
you want me to
is
plan,
that, I'm just curious, did you have trouble, like, did you dislike school because of that? Like, you couldn't plan, study ahead, that kind of thing?
100%. I never studied in school. I ended up bullshitting all the way up until high school. And then once I got to high school, it was like I couldn't study. So I would just ace all the tests and I would fail all the homework and whatever because I would have to try to study.
Right.
Because I couldn't do it.
And do you feel like if maybe you had been trained better, you know, given a better, you know, educational support, that might have been something you could have been trained out of?
Probably.
Yeah, that's
probably.
Because that does not feel like impulsiveness. When they're talking about this quality, they're really talking about impulsiveness again. And although you may not... Your thing is about not caring about consequences, right? And that's how impulsiveness happens. But there's also not planning ahead, just doing something now, not caring what happens later. I don't think that's you.
I mean, I can also say, like, to be my own devil's advocate, that when I'm analyzing, you know, insecurities and stuff like that, I'll think 10 miles in the future of, like, what could happen because of this and this and that.
Right.
So I guess there's, like, some planning, but... I don't know. My gut says yes.
I give you a yes, but it sounds more like because you weren't trained in delayed gratification, you've just gone that way, which is what most humans will do. Nadav?
No, I'd say I definitely plan ahead.
Right, you're
like,
that guy.
Avoiding failure is a huge driver for me.
Zolo?
Yeah, same here. I'm a big planner.
Okay. So here we are. So we have these antisocial traits, right? And let's kind of scan up there. And he has some yeses, but a lot of noes, right? And you really have to be pretty much doing all these things all the time to have an antisocial personality disorder. So it's not as though you changed one to, what were the laws you've been breaking lately, by the way?
True.
Just asking for a friend.
You don't have to answer that anymore.
I've got a good defense lawyer. I'm just saying. I need to know if I need to call him today or not.
I've seen him jaywalk before. That's all. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we talked about before with you, you don't like authority.
No, I listen to no authority ever. You'll never...
So
force something out of me like right now.
Right. Yeah. And do you feel that these things we've talked about, so you essentially have sort of, you have emotions, you are aware of emotions, you're aware of other people's emotions. That's not antisocial, right? Antisocial sociopathy really don't care about other people's emotions. You're intolerant of people that put themselves in situations that cause consequences. You don't have sympathy for that, but you know the feelings, you appreciate their feelings. And I don't feel that you're manipulating people just for your own purposes. Is that accurate?
Manipulating people for just my own purposes.
You may be capable of doing that, but I don't feel like you indulge in that. Let's put it that way.
It depends. It depends who we're talking about. Like, I have in the past, absolutely.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure. Yeah. But I'm saying it's not... Again, with sociopaths, that's how they get through the world, right? That's what they do. So there's some issue. You have an issue with authority, right? That's sort of what we're seeing here. It's sort of it's almost more in the oppositional defiant sort of zone than it is in antisocial zone. And we talked about the borderline stuff, which you identified with also. And in that category, a lot of your stuff is about self-image, abandonment, emptiness, those sorts of things. So when you really add these traits up, and again, this is not a diagnosis, it's just sort of a constellation of what's going on here. It's that you must have had trauma. Because all the borderline stuff is made up of trauma. And even the particular stuff you have are more even specific to trauma, dissociating, emptiness, all that stuff, abandonment. Those are trauma feelings. And that doesn't mean you have a disorder, right? Because you can have relationships. You do care about people. You have all these little traits. You manipulate. You do this. You cast off authority. I'm guessing the trauma was probably perpetrated by somebody in authority, or at least somebody who you were relying on, and they let you down in some big way, and therefore you kind of... And this is what children do. When you've had, you're supposed to be cared for and get nurturing and sort of build yourself and build your emotional landscape. When that is ruptured, you don't want anything to do with people who have done that. That is really painful. And if they do it repeatedly, it's really painful. And you want them, you stay away from that and you don't trust it. And then trust is ruptured and it's hard to have relationships then. It's certainly hard to trust authority. And if you're in the paranoia and stuff like that, I'm not sure what's going on there. That's a little bit the only thing that doesn't kind of fit with all this. But, well, maybe it does.
The paranoia comes from my mother 100%.
Okay.
Because she is the first person that told me that. I mean, my dad left at an early age, right? And so the first thing she told me was that he lied. Mm. He's just a big liar. Everything he says is a lie. So in my head, I'm like, well, if the person that I trusted that early on could lie, then I guess everybody's fucking lying, right?
So you're on the defensive all the time.
Yeah, I'm always considering that what you say might be a lie, and if it is, what are you trying to gain? And that's where the paranoia comes from.
And that's kind of an antisocial thing, this idea that people are, always trying to do something for themselves, that it couldn't possibly be they just care about you, or they have a job to do if they're, say, a professional and want to help you. It's hard for you to accept that, and I understand that. Does this fit, Nadav, with any that you guys know back in the booth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
and Zolo's got nothing about nothing. Even though he should have some more of this stuff because he's adolescent and young adult. And by the way, I had an ass full of some of this, the borderline stuff when I was an adolescent, which is sort of why adolescents, you really aren't supposed to diagnose personality disorders during adolescence because they all look kind of borderline or sociopathic.
Right. But doesn't schizophrenia usually come out right when you're 18?
18 to 22, but that's a very different symptom.
Oh, that's very specific symptoms. Schizophrenia.
Major site, you can start to render personality diagnoses during young adulthood, even though, again, with caution. But major psychiatric symptoms come on during 18 to 22. So depression, panic, thought disorders like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. This is when they start to emerge as a major symptom complex. And it has something to do with the brain's maturation state and the sort of moving away into an autonomous, you know, moving out into the world. Both those things seem to be important to this. Andy, does it fit your sense of yourself?
I actually don't even know what you determined. Like, what did you conclude?
That you had trauma and that you can't trust people. you throw off authority.
Yeah, trauma of multiple accounts.
Yeah,
Not trusting authority. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that trauma has left you feeling empty and, you know, difficult trusting and all the things that you talked about. And made you know, the self-concept, you also said you have a bad self-image. That's different than what Nadav had. Nadav has low self-worth. Self-worth is something that's established between an age about 0 and 5. And we haven't even talked about any self-worth yet. I don't know whether you have good or bad self-worth. What would you say about that?
It's just as various as my self-image.
As the self-concept, yeah. So self-concept is one thing, and that is established in relation to other people. And if you're traumatized, you don't spend enough time trusting and in close proximity with other people to build that emotional landscape to give you a sense of what's going on inside all the time. So the self-concept is about what you're doing in the world, which you said that was kind of unstable. And I was sort of surprised to hear that because it seems to me like you got a lot to offer and you do a lot and you feel good about it. So that you should be able to rely on that as helping build a self-concept. Is that not true?
Didn't
hear me?
Yeah, no, I'm fucking.
You're
sorry.
Dissociating.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Nadav, do you know what I'm talking about with him? Like, he has competencies, right?
Right. Like he's super confident
right.
in all the things.
And competent. Not just confident, but competent.
Right.
And usually those competencies help people get a sense of themselves in the world. And so I would say, for you, Annie, to kind of look at that and rely on that and start to build from that. But the other place we build is from the inside out, and that is in close relationship with other people. And the trauma keeps you out of that kind of proximity where you could build that thing. And there are wonderful trauma therapies out there if you ever want to look into it. My sense is you're kind of ready and it would be a really interesting journey for you and help you with your relationships and some of this unstable feeling and all that kind of stuff. That would all go away. You don't have to have that.
Go away, man.
I know.
I can't imagine a world without anything that any sort of negative, you know.
Well, I'm not saying you're going to be completely perfect and happy.
Yeah.
I'm saying that some of these more persistent, the self-concept should improve, the emptiness should go away, the paranoia should be downed, the abandonment might go away, right? The abandonment could go away if you learn that somebody is there for you and helping you feel emotions. Abandonment goes way down. For me, I can tell you, and then the self-harm goes away and all this other stuff goes away. For me, I had a lot of, and the other thing I was going to say, and this is about the trauma causes what's called narcissistic injuries. So all this stuff is sort of narcissistic process. These are all narcissistic traits that we're all manifesting here. And again, adolescence, highly narcissistic. And in my own situation, I had lots of emptiness and lots of longing and emotional dysregulation. And that all went away with therapy. It just went away. Also, I had anxiety and panic, went away. And my brain feels like it's more integrated and whole. And so all these things that were sort of vague to me, like primary emotions, stuff like that, are deeply connected now. And so I don't have anxiety because I think the anxiety was sort of unregulated emotion for me. And everyone has their own sort of journey with these things. But your stuff clearly is about trauma and things like EMDR and sort of emotionally focused therapy. A lot of this stuff would go away. You're always going to feel a little something about authority. That's going to be you. And you're always going to be what else is on your scale here? You're going to be pushing limits and that kind of stuff. And that's what makes you interesting, right? I mean, this is the thing. We have these traits, and it's when they have impact on our functioning that we want to do something about them, right? Or in how we're feeling. We want to feel better. We don't want to deal with this feeling of longing or empty or anxiety, whatever, or maybe depression. And that stuff gets better with treatment. I'm just saying. Got a good one.
Yeah.
Got a good one if you want one.
Send them over.
It's a she.
Oh, send her over. I will send it.
I've sent a bunch of people to her and had remarkable and rather quick, rapid kind of outcome. So there you go, gentlemen.
But hold on.
Yeah. Whoa.
So we never determine, like, was this like some fucking like low key intervention or some shit? Like, what? We never determine who's
that's
the
your,
most. And
that's your paranoia.
Yeah, I was fucking waiting for my turn, but it looks like we're at the end of the show. So maybe we'll get to it next time.
I'll do yours because your stuff jumped out. That's why I did yours. Zolo, nothing, zero.
Right, Zolo's just a big old liar, and we'll make more tests.
Zolo's
for
got
him.
Nothing. Listen,
or maybe I'm actually normal.
Chanceless, but dude.
I don't know why that's so chanceless.
Read boring into that. Just as I said, normal is boring. So Nadav, let's look at some of Nadav's stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Nadav, you have what you don't have. Let me see here. I'm looking up there. Hold on. Yeah, you manipulate. Your stuff.
Oh, boy.
Your stuff feels more like it actually is part of your personality. And not so much trauma related. In other words, I have a sense that Nadav stuff is, I mean, excuse me, any stuff is a reaction to the trauma.
This is just who I am.
This is who you are.
Great.
And I'm wondering about the manipulativeness. Is that something you learned somewhere, or is that something you feel good about?
Well, when it comes to manipulating, like I don't think I've ever used it maliciously.
Yeah.
Like it's always been like, you know, one person told me a story about someone else, and I just try and manipulate that person to tell me that story. So it's not like I learned it behind their back. It's like I'm getting it from the source. I feel like that's the main example I have of,
right. We'll call that lying, but you know, and the self-image was the other thing that was tough for you, right?
Yeah.
So it's self-image and manipulation are sort of where your stuff goes. And have you ever tried anything to improve your self-image?
I mean, I've been in therapy for a while, and that's definitely been helping.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I thought it was self-worth, not self-image.
He has both, right?
Sure do.
Because self-worth is something that's established. It's almost constitutional. Like, I have bad self-worth, right? Mm-hmm. You can't change self-worth, it turns out. It's very hard to change self-worth. And I'm not convinced that bad self-worth is a bad thing. Because having a bad self-worth typically makes you work harder to be better. It's easier to motivate to be better. It also, it's easier to look at your responsibility because you feel like, oh, it's me. I must have something to do with this, right? Do you do any of that? Do you ever locate the source of something going bad in you, or do you usually locate it out in the world? Let's put it that way. I'm guessing it's more out in the world for you. I'm just guessing.
Something bad happening and like I have something to do with it. Do I feel like more responsible?
Like it's really my doing and my fault and I got to look at myself or do you figure it's really out there? That's the problem.
No, because me and Annie kind of react to, like, if we have a mess up at work, if it's either of us, like we react to our own fuck ups almost the exact same way.
Yeah, I there was a thing that kind of like one thing that went wrong on the last live show that we did that was like in the back, you know, no one would notice. But I like full like broke down. Like people were coming up trying to ask for signatures and stuff, and I'm like, I'm trying so hard to put a smile on, but like I wanted to fucking, I wanted to leave like ASAP.
I'm not sure that's worth. That's you know, it's perfectionism and wanting to do a good job and all that stuff. But let's talk about worth, Nadav. Do you have a very bad self-worth? Like during adolescence and stuff, was it really rough? You felt shitty about yourself?
I mean, probably.
How do you come? You don't know.
I mean, I went to a J school with like fucking, I don't know, 15 kids in my class. It was hard to be like, oh, this kid's better than me, that kid. Like, I don't remember having memories like that.
So you didn't feel bad about yourself? I don't know. I don't know if you're self-worth.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I was always a fat kid. That was probably like a thing in the back of my head
all
the time.
Were you bullied for that?
Well, no, because I went, you know, to school with a bunch of weak Jews, so they're not really a bullying type.
Have you ever wanted to address that, like really do something about it? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm in therapy.
No. I mean, the like really like do something aggressive about your weight.
Like that my weight is bullying me?
No, like you want to lose a bunch of weight.
Yeah, I'd love to lose weight.
But have you ever gone at that?
I've gone through, like, I did keto a couple years ago where I like kicked like 40 pounds or something, and then, you know, it's all back and shit.
And why does it come back usually?
Because I stopped the keto. I think what happened was that, like, I was really taking care of myself, and then I started dealing with, like, a whole bunch of really crazy family shit, and I'm like, you know what, fuck this, diet's taking a backseat, I'm just going to try and self-soothe.
You see how that works, right?
No.
You just described it to me. It makes that your family is stressing you out, it makes you feel like shit, you're unregulated, and you use food to regulate, and you feel justified in doing it.
I guess I do.
Yeah. I don't know. You're in treatment, so I can't improve on that. I guess I kind of sense that, which is why I was sort of moving past Nadav. Do you think if you'd not have been in treatment, you would have answered more significantly to some of these things, particularly over on the borderline side?
Are you talking to me or to
you, Nadav? Had you not been in therapy, that some of the stuff would have been more positive, more negative, in other words?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. No, because like I used to, like, anxiety was, I'd say, probably the biggest thing that I hated living with.
Right.
And like after being in therapy, it's like what you just said is that like it just kind of just goes right by me. Like it's I used to just pace and fucking, you know, just have repeating thoughts in my head all the time. Yeah. Then once you go into therapy, that shit just kind of goes away.
Yeah. So what I would say for Nadav is you got to go deeper in your therapy. Are you kind of stalling out a little bit? Is your therapist asking you to do more stuff? And you're sort of like, eh.
I mean, no, we're getting lots of work done every session.
Okay. All right. You're not, give me the stuff. Can you tell us what you're working on? Sorry to do this, but Nadav put me on it.
I'd rather not. It's okay. All pretty deeply personal.
Is it family stuff?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the more you can dig into feelings that cause guilt and shame and pain, and be 100% honest with your therapist, the more that person can support you and help you re-regulate that stuff. Right. That's how it works.
No, yeah, and I am 100% honest with my therapist.
Okay, good. Yeah. And you see how that works, or are you still dissociated from us?
No, I wouldn't lie to my therapist either.
Okay.
All right.
Gentlemen, and Zolo, I got nothing to talk about. And me, I've had lots of therapy, and as I said, during my adolescent stuff, I had more of these things, and now I don't, and thank goodness for that, because it's something you want to get over, trust me. These are not fun symptoms to have.
Maybe on the next episode, we could try and get to the bottom of why Zolo lies so much.
I don't think, but maybe we got to compare Chris and Zolo. That could be interesting.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. See who's...
I'm up for that.
Yeah, see who's more normal. I wonder if Chris has any paranoid stuff. I don't know. Maybe he, because he, I don't know. We'd see. It'd be interesting. Any stuff that he sees about himself that we don't see, in other words.
He's also, I think, I can't remember. I think he majored in psychology.
So he's going to be on the lookout.
You need to give him some trick questions.
All right,
kind of throw
enough.
Him off.
Fair enough. I'll see what I can do. All right, I hope this is fun for everybody. We got Annie in treatment. We got Nadav underway already. And maybe you guys learned a little something about this.
I think you fucked up this whole booth today.
And I know. I can tell Annie's just like spinning. I see it. But it just sits. This is the human experience, guys. It's just how we work. I don't mean to fuck up the booth. I mean to just improve people's situation. It's all about being a human being. There's nothing unusual about any of this. So many of us have this stuff. And by the way, I would argue that we live in a time when people are acting out their bullshit and projecting it onto other people rather than being honest about it and taking care of it. So I applaud you guys for being willing to be part of a conversation that hopefully educates some people. Yes? Andy, can you hear that?
I can hear that. Right. Yeah, I heard you. But you still didn't decide who the fuck this whole test was supposed to decide. I still feel like this is low-key. You guys just fucking did this because you wanted me to fucking say all this shit.
No, I didn't. I didn't
confirm whether or not I'm crazy.
I remember I started out by saying no diagnoses, not going to make any diagnoses. Mm-hmm. We're just going to talk about traits, and we found all the traits. And your traits, like I said, they fit with trauma and authority stuff. And with Nadav's, it was a little more subtle, and I see now why it is, because he's already in treatment and he's working on this stuff. And I mean, you know, you can work on Nadav if you want. Maybe get to the point to talk about the shit he's talking about in therapy. Maybe that the thing about talking about stuff that you're doing in therapy is if you talk about it, you sometimes hurt other people, and that's not okay. You know, you can talk about your own stuff, but you shouldn't be talking about stuff that hurts other people.
So wait a minute though. Mm. So between Dav and I, if you had to choose, who's more borderline?
You have more borderline stuff.
Fuck.
You have more borderline stuff. But what I'm saying is that's trauma related. It's trauma related. You don't have a borderline disorder. What you have is a narcissistic injury. Okay. And that's so I'm putting your whole thing together as narcissistic injury in childhood. Does that make sense?
It does.
Nadav stuff is a little more in the
unfixable area.
Well, maybe unfixable and self concept, and his stuff is actually kind of deeper in a weird way. And your stuff, it's like, I know exactly what to do. We have lots of people that can do it. For Nadav, he's going to have to, you notice what I said to him, he's got to get into a deeper track with his therapy. Because his stuff is very delicate. He needs like microsurgery, right? He needs like microsurgery, and you need like Celebrity Fit Club or something. You know, we need to get you into this stuff. And Nadav, we need to like carefully tease out what some of that very early stuff is. And it's some of it, it's not even verbal. It's hard to even get at. So he'll get at it through talking about some of his uncomfortable things with relationships and stuff.
All right. Now, what about sociopathy? We took that test as well.
I only got antisocial, not antisocially, my oppositional defiance, sort of authority stuff out of that.
Oh, I thought you said we did a sociopathy.
No,
one.
We did. And you don't have sociopathy. You don't have it. You have some traits that to me just said kind of oppositional.
But if you had to choose between...
Who's more oppositional?
No. Who's more? No. I know I'm that one.
Okay.
But the answer is you every time.
Who's more likely to be a sociopath?
No, none of you guys are sociopaths.
But most likely.
No. I'm not going to do that. None of you guys are sociopaths.
Can't or won't.
Won't. Who could act like a sociopath? Both of you are quite capable of that.
But who's more capable?
It depends on the motivation, I guess. The real question is who would feel bad about it. That's the interesting question.
I'd feel most bad about it, definitely.
I'd feel way worse, for sure.
No, you wouldn't.
Copy, like 100%.
I think Annie's right. I think he would feel worse. because you, remember, you justify your stuff.
Right.
Right, so you don't feel bad about things you justify. Annie feels bad even when he justifies
it. No, but Drew, it's not that I think it's justified, it's that it's objectively justified.
In your head.
Oh, you know what? Hearing that come out.
Yeah, see, that's right. It's objectively in your head, which is subjective.
Well, I know what I'm talking about in therapy this week.
Right. And so, you know, I think Annie's right on that one. So, yes, good question, Annie. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
He feels
Thank
proud
you.
Of
Thank
himself,
you, doctor.
Though. Very proud.
I have one last question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I have one last question.
All right, go.
And this one's weird.
Okay.
It's a question that I've wanted to ask. Do you know Beetlejuice from...
Stern. Yes.
Yeah. So Beetlejuice is a guy
with microcephaly. He's got.
So he's a dude who everybody around him kind of, you know, enjoys being around. Like he's
yeah,
a good
he's
boss.
A character.
He's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
But he's you know, obviously got some issues, right?
Yes. Yes.
And a big part of the show that includes him. Is more or less like a show that he doesn't know that he's on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he has no insight into his deficiencies, and he feels just perfectly at his liberty to say some of the stuff he says, and that's just the way it is.
Yes.
Yeah, so we all have some of that, right? That's called cognitive distortions. We all that's part of the human brain. He just has a, you know, he's really, really, really bad with it, right? He can't really interpret what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But he can't. My question to you is,
yeah.
Am I fucking Beetlejuice?
Not even close. Not
Be
even
real
close.
With me.
Not even close. I would tell you if I had concerns about that. You actually are, particularly given what we've been talking about, you show pretty good insight. You show rigorous honesty and clarity of your insight and a willingness to look at it. So when you know, people with a normal brain get these things, they can have psychological blocks. They can have part of the illness can make them not see things. And when people have personality disorders, they don't see it. You're exactly right. When people with personality disorders, they're more like Beetlejuice. They blame everything out there. You're not doing that. It's when I bring these things up, you just go, yep, that's me. This is me. Yeah, I do that. And this is why I do it. And this is what happened. And you're connecting all the dots. And the thing you really have to watch out for, I mean, this may be my stuff, I'm not sure because I don't like paranoia, but I feel like that paranoia is going to get in your way. And so that's what you need to watch out for. It's the only thing that you have that's not really rational, because all of your stuff is just, I mean, this is how people react to the stuff you went through. It's just how we react. But the paranoia gets you into a state where you can't trust anybody, and you're questioning everything, and you're in that state, and you have to watch out for that, because that's where you can get the blocks. When you're in a fully paranoid state, then you'll block reality out a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take your recommendation of this lady that
I will text you all her
you'll
stuff.
Never talk to, and everyone else will ever talk to. And
we'll text all her stuff. And I appreciate you guys being open and honest and willing to talk about common experiences in that humans have. And I know lots of other of you have it out there. I've heard your emails and voicemails, and believe me, a lot of you have this stuff, trust me. And the cool guys have more of the stuff that Beetlejuice has, so we know there's lots of that out there that we're sharing about too. So we're just looking at our own stuff a little more realistically. And again, this is a safe place to do all these things. And as one of the callers, I think emails yesterday said that this is a place to come and bring difficult or embarrassing stuff, and we'll try to do it and entertain a little bit and have a little fun at the same time. So Booth Boys, God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.